Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1. Go all the way to the left. Genesis 1. This is going to be a breakthrough day for some of you because you've been thinking, I can read the word but don't understand it. Today you're going to get it. This is a good day for you. You can't go all okey on me, okay? You got to look at it and think, man, my heart, they're open. God, I'm connecting with you today. How do we connect with God? We connect with his word. We put a premium on God's word. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Circle that word dominion just because I like it. How many guys like that word dominion? How many of you guys want dominion over your finances? How many of you guys want dominion over your health? I said, how many of you guys want dominion over your finances? Dominion over your health. Let me tell you, you sit that back there and be all comfortable, you're not going to be able to take dominion. You're not going to be comfortable, are you, when you're, well, I'm going to go take dominion. What are you going to do? I'm going to go take a nap first. No, you know what? Man, we're people that he gives us dominion. Let them have dominion. Everybody say, have dominion. He's laid it over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the tame animals, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Now think about this. In his own image, male and female, he created them. See, and I'm not even going to approach it. Male and female, that's where it stops, okay? He created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You know what it is? In the margin of your Bible, circle, be fruitful and multiply. In the margin, right, have a great life. How about no isolation? How about never being alone? How about no rejection? He said, be fruitful and multiply. And then what did he say? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, there's a progression here that I'm going to start you off in, and then we're going to go to the New Testament a little bit and finish it. But a five-point progression is, number one, God created us in his image. There's nothing else in the universe that was created in the image of God. Nothing else. You were. If you're thinking that God loves animals as much as he loves you, you're wrong. He doesn't love anything in the universe more than you. No, let me tell you something. Some of you guys that deal with depression or you're bummed out when you came in here, you got some bad news. That news I just gave you, that there's nothing and nobody in the universe God loves more than you, just trumped whatever it is that you're dealing with. See, and that's what we've got to understand. This is God's plan for our lives. Okay, if you're thinking, man, I got to know God's plan. What's God's plan? I'll tell you what God's plan is. You're creating his image. How about that for a plan? And you'll think, well, that's a little awkward. Sure it is. I'm like him. Number two, and this is huge, God blesses us and speaks to us. First thing he did with man and woman is he blessed them and said, blessed them and spoke. And that's what God does. Let me just tell you, and don't separate those two things in your heart. They're not separated in my heart. How many of you guys know God blesses you? How many of you guys know God blesses you? But you know what? We're not so sure that he speaks to us. No, he blesses us and he speaks to us. Man, you'll say, well, you know, God, he can do anything. No, he can't. God can't lie. God can't go against his word. God can't bless somebody and not bless you. He's a God of precedent. He's no respecter of persons. You got to hear me. God created us in his image. He blesses us. He speaks to us. We're his only creation in his image. Cloud formations, beautiful mountains. Man, I was just in Arizona at the Arizona State preseason football camp. Amazing access to that team. And man, kids and coaches giving them their lives to the Lord. I'm in a practice and I'm looking and the sun, it's so hot and so intense, I could feel it burning my skin. And I'm thinking, this is amazing, mountains all around. And it was pouring, raining on us. I don't mean it was sprinkling. I don't mean it was spitting. I mean it was monsoon torrential downpour raining. And I'm looking at the sun that's burning my skin, and the rain is freezing cold that's hitting me, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. And as amazing as that can be, it is nothing compared to you. Nothing. You're created in His image. Man, that rain and that wind. No, you know what? And you know what He's put on the inside of all of us? He's put a still, small voice. See, we're looking for God to be in the fireworks. We're looking for God to be in the fire. We're looking for God to be in the thunder. And you know what? He's in none of that. You know where God is? He's in that still, small voice in you. You know why? You're created in His image. You're connected with Him. You're alive unto Him. You have tremendous value. You're created in His image. Man, you know what we're gonna do? Every teenager within the sound of our voices is gonna hear this school year how valuable they are, how incredible they are, how undefeatable they are, how unstoppable they are. I'm just telling you, it's gonna be an incredible school year for our children. And you know why? Because we say it. We have what we say. Man, if you're up against the mountain, guess what? You're in the right place with the right people to speak to that mountain, be removed, to be cast to the sea, and we're not receiving a lick of dadgum doubt, are we, Chris? We're not receiving a doubt in our heart. We have what we say. And let me tell you, God knows that. He wants you to remind Him of it. The people around you know that. Let's let our situation know that. Let's let the enemy know that. Let's be who God's called us to be. Let's live out His plan that we're made in His image. We're created in Christ Jesus for great works. And this is His plan for our lives. We have dominion. Now this gets us started. This gets the ball rolling because great things are in store for you. I remember I was in high school. I was a freshman in high school, and this coach we had wasn't very smart. But I'll tell you, we did leg lifts. It was like we weren't a good football team, but we were forever leg lifts. How many of you guys have ever done leg lifts? You know, and they at that time, they let you kind of cheat. You got to put your fists under your deal. Your rump, and you keep your legs 6 inches off the ground, your feet 6 inches off the ground, and your legs straight. And I'm in my first practice. I'm a freshman. I can't grow a mustache. My voice is high. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm an athlete. So I got my fists under my booty, and I got my legs straight like this, 6 inches off the ground. And this coach walks by, and he's tying up this umpire pouch around his waist. And I'm like, why does that guy have an umpire pouch where it's a football practice? It was full of baseballs. And I'm like, what is he doing? And all of a sudden, he pulls out one of those baseballs, and he guns it at this guy, and it hits off his side like this. I'm like, huh? That never happened in Little League football. Anybody that their feet dropped and hit the ground, he gunned a baseball at them. I'm thinking I need to have an umpire pouch on with full of base and throw baseballs at you guys that aren't paying attention. You may not like me, but you'll never forget what I'm saying. But listen, this gets this ball rolling, okay? This gets us some traction. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. This is why we're gonna go out and help people with trees in their yard. This is why we give people groceries. This is why we feed kids in Haiti every single day. This is why we drilled water wells. This is why we helped build a hospital, a school, and a church on the island of Logan off Haiti. Why? The love of Christ compels us. Man, the reason it happened, I'll tell you in my life, Eric English could tell you the same thing. The reason it happened in his life, because we saw it. I'm flying home. I don't have anything in my bag because I don't have any shoes. I'm barefooted. And I'm flying back and I'm like, God, I don't know. Let me tell you the imagery, okay? The imagery is I saw this 3 or 4 year old little year old kid got a t-shirt on that who knows what color it is because it's so soiled and it's so old and it's so beaten. And he's following this dog around. And the dog would kind of meander through the dirt like this and it'd go back and forth and it's sniffing like a dog and dog's ribs are sticking out and dog's just sniffing, looking for something to eat and just looking like this. That little kid's right behind that dog, just following that little dog, just like this. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, I don't even think that dog's that kid's. It's not even making any sense to me. Then that dog stopped and it squatted. And that dog urinated. And that dog took off then and kept sniffing. That kid stopped. And that kid sat out on the ground. And that kid, he spread his legs like this. And that urine is right here in the middle. And he took a bunch of dirt and he piled that dirt up on that urine. It's just like this. And then he balled it up. And he was like an Italian chef or something. He's like making pasta or something. And he balled that up. And he got that in a ball. And it was a little bit bigger than a golf ball. And he took that ball of mud, urine-soaked mud, and he threw it in his mouth and he ate it. And I was like, oh. And I want to say, no, don't. But that's all he had to eat. So we're in an airplane flying home. And it's like, okay, God, I need some strategy here. I'm a leader. I'm a man of God. I'm a leader. And God spoke to me and he said, you saw it. And I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant was when Jesus said, you saw me hungry. You saw me thirsty. You saw me imprisoned. You saw me without shelter. And they said, when? All we've done is served you. He said, no. If you do it to the least of them, you do it unto me. You see it, we own it. That's who we are. That's why there's a Pastor Bill at Guts Church email address so that at a moment's notice, you can email my office and someone's going to respond to you within the hour. You can try it. See, that's who we have to be. That's who we have to be for teenagers, for kids, for families, for people with trees uprooted in their yard. And you might say, man, I've had a bad experience serving in the past. Would you get over yourself? What was point number one? We're created in his image. Do you think God's had a bad experience with any of us? No, for real. No, I'm thinking. I'm thinking about you, Matt. I'm thinking about the experiences God's had with Matt. Matt's a decent guy. He's like a 7. He's bumping an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. Good guy. Do you think that he's caused God any grieving? Do you think God just had a wonderful, wonderful experience with Matt? No. But here we are, we go, I just had a bad experience one time. You know, they didn't let me hammer. That pastor hogged the chainsaw. Let me just tell you, let me preface our work day. I'm gonna hog the chainsaw. To change the world, all I have to have is the Holy Spirit and a chainsaw, and we can change the world. I got a lot of funny things, but I can finish my message because Jeff's up here warming up. The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, those who live shall no longer live for themselves. I doubt that's underlined in your Bible. Because you know what? There may just be a tiny bit of selfishness left in your soul. That's all that's left. And it won't let you underline, we don't live for ourselves anymore, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, everybody say from now on. Say it again. We regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold. All things are made new. In the original text, there wasn't the punctuation like we have in the English. So remove the punctuation between verse 17 and verse 18, and I'm going to read it, and you just read along in your heart. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. See, it doesn't change the tenor. It just adds to the tenor. It does. It's like in football. You don't teach people, you teach people to play through the whistle, not to the whistle. See, we've got to be Christians that play through the whistle, not just to the whistle. We've got to have that extra effort. We've got to go that extra mile. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us, who has reconciled us. Now it all adds up for us, because that's what God's done for us, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Number one, God created us in his image. Number two, God blesses us and speaks to us. Number three, we live for him. My life is his. Now, let me tell you, because I know you guys are sitting here thinking, okay, if my life's his, what's in it for me? You ready, Monty? If your life is his, he takes responsibility for it. How many of you guys want God to be responsible for your life? How many want all your needs met? How many of you guys want God to bless you? Let me tell you, God takes responsibility for those lives that live for him. So we live for him. My life is his. I'm his responsibility. If it's fine. You don't need to make Jesus Lord of your life. And you know what? You could breathe for a few more days. But understand, you got to take responsibility for yourself, everything. You live for God. You live for him. He takes responsibility. We're in Christ. We are his new creations. And let me tell you, how many of you guys have heard that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 100 times? Can I see your hands? Today, it worked in your life just like it did the first time you heard it. First time I heard it was about 30 seconds after I got saved. I was hungover. I felt terrible. The pastor spoke that verse into my life, and it seeded. And I think about that every single day. So number three, we live for him. Number four, we're in Christ and we're new creations. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should just merely walk in them. We should walk in these promises. We're created in Christ Jesus. And number five, now, and this is a big one, now all things are of God. That's why everything I put my hand to prospers. Why? Because all things are of God now. Why? Because my life is his. Why? Because I live for him. Why? Because God blesses me and speaks to me. Why? Because I'm created in his image. See, this progression is incredible. And it just boils me down to Psalm 92:13. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God, and even in old age will be fresh and flourishing. We don't have any excuses now. Jeff, we flourish. We flourish. AJ, we flourish. I mean, think about it. Your life now is set up. You flourish. Why? You're created in God's image. You're created in God's image. All the work's been done. He's given, he doesn't withhold any good thing from me. He gives you everything pertaining to life and godliness. I'm telling you, man, my heart's full on this promise. And it's time for us to be who God's called us to be. I want to pray for people in here today. I want to pray for people in Skytook and Sepulpa, people watching online. I want to pray for people whose lives aren't right with God. I want to pray for people who need Jesus to be the Lord of their life. I want to pray for people that, man, when you die, what's going to happen to your soul? Where are you going? I want to pray for people that, man, you're struggling, you're going through it. I want to pray for families. I want to pray for parents. I want to pray for teenagers. I want to pray for kids. I'm believing God for this to be the best school year of our lives. Listen, whether we got kids or we're in school or not. This is a family thing. This is a community thing. There's going to be a family blessing come upon this church today. There's going to be a community blessing to come on this church today. And guess what? The way God does anything is the way God does everything. We submit ourselves to God. We give him the first part of it, just like the tithe. The windows of heaven are open above our lives, and he pours out a blessing so great we can't contain it. So guess what? Schools around us, classes around us, teams around us, coaches around us, locker rooms around us, playgrounds around us. You know what? They all get filled with God's blessing. Let me ask you this. What's greater, a blessing or a curse? Blessing. So when God blesses you, any kind of curse that's been established or tries to occupy your life, it gets removed. That's why the Bible says this, a curse causeless has no effect. See, when a blessing comes upon your life, when God blesses you, that curse takes on no effect. And then you just have to change your muscle memory. You just have to change how you walk, how you live, because you don't have that curse occupying your life anymore. Man, if you had a shattered leg and you're trying to walk, you're dragging that leg, and God touches you and God heals you and God blesses you, and you're like, oh my gosh, it feels so much better. It doesn't hurt anymore. Man, God healed me. You don't want to walk away like this anymore. And it's time for you to walk away like this. The woman, or the man at the gate called beautiful that couldn't even walk in his whole life. And Peter said, look at me, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And when he pulled him up and when that guy's feet hit the ground, his legs held. He didn't sit back down and think, here, oh my gosh, let me process this. As a reaction, he ran and jumped and praised God. That's how you need to leave the service at Sky Tickets and Pulpa. Leave this service where you don't walk out of here the way you walked in. Man, the way you walk into prison, don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys have ever walked into prison? You don't walk into prison, you walk into prison like this. Oh, what's going to happen? If too many people walk out of prison like that. Man, I'm telling you today, if you're walking out of a prison in your soul, you have your head up and your eyes open. You be alert. Because let me tell you, God delivering you is also going to be the God that resources you and equips you, makes you whole with nothing missing and nothing broken.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.